1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia to stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer, or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and the rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God which he entrusted to me.
Good morning, church. If you would, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to trick you a little bit today. 1 Timothy chapter 1. So, according to Paul, Timothy and all disciples must be willing to deal with those who teach falsely about Jesus and about the scriptures. We also need to keep a proper perspective, proper focus on what is important and not chase rabbits. Those who devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. That means, with that being said, that means that there is truth. If there's a falsehood of false teachers, there's something that's based upon that helps us to identify that. So if there is truth, then that means there is responsibility. And that responsibility of understanding and knowing truth falls upon every single one of us. We have a responsibility to read God's word, examine God's word, study God's word, know God's word. So there are a couple of things. So one implication is that we have to first know the word of God in order to correct someone, to help them out, to help guide them and steer them the right way. You may say to me, well, you know, I don't remember things and, you know, I don't this and I don't that and stuff. But the point is that if someone is teaching something, saying something, you can say to someone, let me get back to you. Let me take a look at that and see what it has to say. Let me be willing to examine that. And so each one of us has a responsibility. It's just not for the shepherds, not for the minister, but for every person, wherever you are, that encounters a situation where people are saying things that are not true according to the scriptures, you have an opportunity to do something about that. So don't be overwhelmed by saying, well, I just don't know the word of God as well as, well, here's a chance to read, to learn, and to grow, to ask questions. And the second thing, and I kind of inferred it already, and that is, it is not someone else's responsibility. It becomes your responsibility. It becomes the door that God has given to you to open up, to go through, to take advantage of. And so it may be difficult, but the fact is that God has provided for you an opportunity to be a witness for him. Sorry, moving forward with this. So it's also important of how we come across, what we say, our attitude, our conduct. Whenever we are dealing with people that are not teaching scripture accurately, it's not for us to pound tables, to scream at people, but to reason with them, to talk to them. We have no license to start becoming unchristlike towards another person. And just because, this is important here, just because someone disagrees with you doesn't necessarily put them at the end of false teacher. Because we're talking about who Christ is, his deity. For those who deny Jesus, of him coming in the flesh, those denying his sacrifice, those denying what he has done. Well, if you're going to deny that, that's not what exactly scripture teaches. So I say all that to tell you, as we're going to get into this, we're not going to get into the text of 1 Timothy today. I'm going to lead you up into that because there's a couple of scriptures I want to go over that deals with the relationship that Paul has with Timothy, that we learn about Timothy and what we can learn. Because if I cover all 11 verses plus this, it's going to be quite a bit, which I'm willing to do, but I think it'd be more beneficial for us to take this not in such a large dose, but in a little smaller doses. So you can say amen to that one. Alrighty. So in Acts chapter 16, if you want to turn there, you're more than welcome to. Acts chapter 16, we read this. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. So let's just break this down a little bit of what we learn and understand. First of all, we understand about his parents, right? His mother was Jewish, and she's a believer. So we know that she's Jewish, she's a believer in Jesus, in the Messiah, Yahshua. We know that. And what's it say about his daddy? His dad's what? Doesn't have anything in her about being a believer, does it? About being a disciple. So what'd you call that? We see that today, where you have a couple, husband and wife, they get married, and maybe one was a Christian before and so on, the one's not, and for whatever reason, some years go by and they stay that way. One's a Christian, one's not. That's kind of what you have here. You have the mother who is serious about her faith. We'll get into this in a moment. Serious about her faith, that she is a disciple of Jesus. Her husband is not. Now, we don't know about the relationship that they have. But it seems, it appears that the mother's teachings won the day. What do you mean by that? Well, the son, Timothy, who's he following? Is he following what mom has been teaching? Or is he following what his father's teaching? Who is it? His mom. Because it says there, when Paul came there, there was a disciple named Timothy. See, he has a chance. Timothy has a chance to hear what his father has to say as a Greek man, and maybe about all the gods that the Greeks believe in and stuff. And mom, but it seems that mom is taking that nurturing role very seriously, teaching the best you can, being that example, and providing for her, for her son, a foundation. And it works. It works in such a wonderful way that he is a disciple. So we learn about his family as far as mom and dad. We learn that he's a disciple. We also know, and we'll come across, that he's young. He's a young man. But then we take a look at, and we see this. At Lystra and Iconium, what do we learn about it? He's what? He's well spoken about. What does that mean, he's well spoken about? See, this young disciple has been taught by his mom, and we'll find very shortly from his grandmother also, who take their faith very seriously. This disciple of Jesus, this young man, has been such an example to those around him that the men have taken notice and spoken well about it. As a matter of fact, the following verse, you read that Paul wants to take him with him, and he takes Timothy with him. Why? Why does Paul, he shows up on a scene, I'm sure it's just not Timothy, the only young male disciple, or maybe disciple, you know, guys, but he takes Timothy with him. And you'll read all different scriptures in the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament epistles about Timothy being there with Paul, or Timothy doing certain things for Paul. Why does he do this? Well, I think this is really important here. See, Paul, I think, recognizes his mortality. He's been persecuted many times. He's had some tough things happen to him. And what he is doing, he hears about this young man, about his faith being real, and says, you know what? Doesn't say in the scriptures, but I think you can read between the lines. I want this young man to come with me. Why? So he can suffer with Paul? So maybe he can fight with Paul. He's a younger guy. Got more enthusiasm. No. It's so that Paul can train him. Paul can equip him. Paul can help him in his journey of faith. In essence, taking him under his wing to teach him, to show him. So why would he want to do this? The question is, why would Timothy want to go? Let's get into the second scripture and stuff. We'll talk about this. Because I think that this is important as we go through this and the smaller doses about this. But let's take a look at the next scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. It says this, Paul writing to his second letter. A first letter writes to Timothy, a second letter writes to Timothy, and we know, I think according to the dates, that this is towards the end of Paul's life and he writes them. These are later letters, the letter epistles that he writes. So in 2 Timothy, so Timothy has his own very own letters from Paul. Who else has it? Philemon. Other than that, it's typically addressed to churches. He says this, Paul writes this, as he writes to Timothy, this young man in faith, he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you. Brothers and sisters, the previous slide, we talked about the fact that people in Lystra and Iconium recognized Timothy. They understood this man is focused. And why is he so focused? Why is he so willing to go with Paul? It's because his faith is sincere. He takes his faith very seriously. And by the way, Paul points this out, this is so important, that it's generational. Grandma had it. And grandma had it, and mom has this faith, this sincere faith. And lo and behold, Timothy didn't follow in the footsteps of daddy. He followed in the footsteps of mom. And it wasn't that he kind of just, well, I'll go to church with her and I'll kind of do these things and stuff. Oh, that's not part of it. What it is that he takes this very seriously. So Paul is reminded of Timothy's sincere faith. And that faith, I said, was generational. Now the question is, and this is important, how can you tell that Timothy's faith is serious? How is that? Just Paul just saying some positive things to make Timothy feel good about himself? You know, you're a sincere person. Does he really mean it? Oh, Paul means it. He understands that. Because what we find, what we have taken place, and that is this. Timothy is serious about his faith. There's no doubt about it. Let me ask you this question, because I'm not sure the age of Timothy at the time when Paul encounters him. But he is a young man, maybe in his late teens, maybe early 20s. A young man in the faith. And Paul says, I want you, Timothy, I want you to come and journey with me. Oh, let's go see the world. It's not about seeing the world. It's about making disciples, about bringing Timothy along to see how it's done. And what does Timothy do? Does he go with Paul? Yes or no, church? Yes, he goes. No hesitation. Why is it that Timothy is willing to go? It's because his faith is sincere. But Timothy, you know, you don't understand this, and you don't understand that. You're young in the faith. See, mom isn't holding them back. Grandma isn't holding them back, saying, you know, Paul, maybe come back in 2 years from now. We'll work some more with my son, my grandson, and we'll help him develop him and stuff like that. Hold off. He's got to learn a little bit more and stuff. And Paul doesn't say, you know, by the way, you know, I see this. He's well spoken of and all that. But, you know, I'm not sure if I want to take him along. Maybe that doesn't hold him back whatsoever. Paul says, I want you, Timothy, to come with me. And Timothy does exactly that. And why is it? It's because he's sincere about his faith. He's sincere. See, I think that sometimes what happens is that we tend to be willing to make excuses about why we can't do certain things. Oh, well, I need more time for this, or I can never do that. Or you know what? I just need to stay back and watch. I'm not going to do that. I'm okay here. It's safe here. Timothy could have stayed right at home with his mother by her side all the time and said, you know, she's getting along in years. I'm going to take care of mom. But Paul calls and he answers the gospel call because his faith is sincere. And how many times that God has provided opportunities for us, moments to truly grow, but it takes a step of faith to trust that God's going to be with us, lead us and guide us. But what we want to do is make excuses to stay where we are, to not move forward and to do that. And so we find, here's Paul writing to Timothy saying, I know, I'm reminded of it, that your faith is sincere. Serious. That you're not just kind of showing up. Not just kind of just, you know, sitting around and doing nothing. That you are willing to learn, willing to grow. Think Timothy had some insecurity issues to go with Paul? I'm sure. Think Timothy thought it sometimes like, I can never do what he's doing. But he's there trying to learn it. How overwhelming that would be. But yet, he's willing to do it. Do you think Timothy ever thought about, well, what if I make mistakes? Oh my goodness. You know, Kurt this morning, he made a mistake. He forgot to make an announcement. So what? We've all done that. Who cares? You know, you get caught up in what you're going to say and stuff. You forget. There are times I look back at notes and I'm like, I never mentioned this. That was a big point. I had to highlight everything. I forgot to do it. So what? See, the point is that sometimes we let fear just paralyze us. We think we're either not educated enough, we don't have enough reading or understanding of scriptures, we don't have this, we don't have that. We could list a whole bunch of things, put them up on the wall and stuff and say, why we can't, why we can't, why we can't. When we have a God who can transform us and change us and say, I can work with you. You are imperfect vessels. Are you going to make mistakes? Yes, get over it. Yesterday I was sharing, I had a chance to speak at the men's breakfast at the Covenant Church yesterday, and I had to explain to them, and I've told you guys, I've talked to you about this, about the fact that why would God place a burning desire on my heart to speak and teach when I am awkwardly shy by nature? But, you know, you have to overcome some things. You have to deal with some things. And so, you know, yeah, there's times when, you know, I've had professors in college who said, I didn't know he could speak. After I did a lesson and they really liked the lesson and stuff. Because I wouldn't say a word in class. You're like, oh dear Lord, I wish you wouldn't talk now. But the fact is that God can do things if we're willing to take that step. So let me ask you this question. Another thing is we're getting close to the end. It's pretty obvious. I'm sure I covered something else here. And that is this. So we're all different walks and different experiences and backgrounds. Let me ask you a question about your faith. Is your faith sincere? Could a brother or sister write what Paul wrote to you and say, I know, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. As a matter of fact, I remember seeing that demonstrated in your grandmother, your grandfather, your mother, your dad. and I see it in you. And if I live long enough, maybe I'll see it in your kids. Is your faith sincere? And you're like, well, I'm here every Sunday, so yeah, pretty soon. That's good. That's important. Being here, being part of the fellowship is absolutely critical. Where we get to sing and worship God together, to grow in our relationship together with one another, but glorifying God and allowing God to shape and mold us. But is your faith sincere? Is God calling you to do something? Is God nudging you to be a part of? Maybe there's something in your mind going, you know, there's something I think I would like to start here, but you know, no one's really saying anything. And if I do that, I'm putting myself out there. Or maybe I'd like to do this, or maybe God wants me to be more active and involved in whatever it is. The sincerity of your faith, are you willing to say, you know what? I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a go. I'll do it. Or are you saying, you know, it's pretty comfortable right here. It's okay. I'll just sit down right there and go through that. I remember back whenever I was a young Christian and at the Whitehall Church and, you know, going to Sunday in the service and found out that the three song leaders that were song leaders were all moving. I'm not kidding you. All three moving within like 2 months. So they had a guy who taught music and stuff from the Washington Church come up to our church to teach us about music and teach song leaders and stuff. And so that's how I got the song lead. Because somebody said, well, you sing. Okay. Why don't you give it a try? I'm like, I don't want to do that. You know, they're nudging me. Nudging. Oh, give it a try. You'll be all right. So, of course, get up there. And the guy's trying to help me out. Man, my legs are just going back and forth. We're going through the song book. Like, pick a song. Amazing Grace. You know that one? I can't even think of what it is. Amazing Grace, did I ever sing this before? We went through so many songs, and then she found one. And then I tried to do the, all that, what am I? Forget that part. I would rather clap with the song than do that. But the point is the fact that, you know, I song led. Did I make mistakes song led? Oh yeah, a whole bunch of mistakes. But, you know, trying to leave the comfort zone is not easy. So I come back to it. Is your faith sincere? See, Paul is going to tell Timothy something here. And you read it. We're not going to read it in 1 Timothy today. But he tells Timothy, he says, I want you to stay in Ephesus. I urge you to stay in Ephesus. Because there are false teachers that are teaching. Timothy's young in the faith. He was a young man anyways. And Paul says, I want you to stay back and help correct this teaching. And you think about it, who wants that assignment? Who wants to say, hey, by the way, if there was some bad stuff going on here and stuff, say like that one person, you know, John, we want you to stay behind and you stay here and correct that. Because I'm sure Timothy would love to get up and go somewhere else and do something else. But what he does because of his sincere faith, he stays. He stays and does what Paul tells him to do. That's a sincere faith. It's a faith saying, you know, I'm being urged by, commanded by, whatever language you want to use, by an apostle, recognizing the relationship. He says, whatever he says I need to do, I'm willing to do it. I'll go ahead and stay behind and do what I need to do. And why is that? Because Timothy is not worried about Timothy. Timothy's not worried about that. He's concerned about the kingdom and making disciples for Jesus. And when we move and shift it from me and being embarrassed and all that stuff to how can God use me? Lord, where do you want me to go? Lord, what do you want me to do? We shift it to that. The whole perspective changes. Then what do? We become available for God. And then doors open up. Is it scary? Sure is sometimes. But he says, please, go through that door that I've opened for you and see what happens. He will allow you to grow more deeply in that relationship because of the opportunities he's provided. So coming back to it, I am reminded of your sincere faith. Grandma had it. Your mother had it. And it resides in you. So my plea, my encouragement is that your faith be sincere. And that you try to share that faith and make it sincere for your kids, for your grandkids, for your great-grandkids, to do all that you can to help shape and mold that next generation so the baton is handed off. And like I said, if you want that test of, am I sincere, what are you doing with the calling God has placed upon your life and upon your heart, the opportunities that are before you? That's for you to take those steps of not blind faith, of trusting what God will do for you. I hope something's been said to challenge you, to encourage you, to build you up. Next time we'll get into the text of the false teaching and deal with all that. If you are here this morning and you are not a disciple of Jesus, all I do is urge and plead with you that you become a disciple of Jesus, to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and to be baptized into Christ, to walk in newness, to be a new creation in Christ Jesus, to have your sins forgiven. We talked this morning in Bible class, the man who was the paralytic who was lowered through the roof, Jesus, the very first thing he said wasn't, get up, your legs are strong, get up, your legs are healed, get up, your body's restored. He said, take courage, your sins are forgiven. Jesus Christ died on the cross to take away your sins, to have them removed as far as the east is from the west. And you can have that today. Or maybe you're here today and you are going through some difficult times and there's maybe an issue going on that's a burden upon you, a weight upon your back. As a church, we'd love to pray with you, to encourage you, to build you up. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Won't you come as we stand and sing this song?